Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is Greg Nielsen, President and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofit leaders and organizations in board governance, strategy, and organizational development. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by two representatives from the Barr Foundation, and we're going to be talking about some very interesting topics and some very interesting efforts from the Barr Foundation. I'd like to welcome to the podcast Carrie Hurley and Yvonne Belanger. Carrie and Yvonne, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us. Hi. Yeah, thanks very much for asking us today.
It's a pleasure to have you join us. Maybe at the outset, if you could just tell us a little bit about the Barr Foundation, where you are, maybe a little bit about the history of the foundation itself.
Sure. This is Carrie. And I wanted to just start by saying, you know, that we were so honored that you were interested in talking with us today. We ourselves have been very interested in learning more on this topic, and we know that there are lots of other organizations who are doing this, you know, in an exemplary way, and we are just aspiring to continue to improve upon all of our practices here at Barr. So, thank you for giving us this opportunity to chat with you. The Barr Foundation is a regional foundation. We expanded our footprint to regional grant making within the last 5 years under the leadership of Jim Canales. We're a relatively young foundation. We were founded in 1997. And our program areas are arts and creativity, climate, and education. We're based in Boston, and we've, in 2018, awarded $85 million in grant making.
Wonderful. Well, Carrie and Yvonne, again, it's a pleasure to have you join us. And for those who are listening, our topic today is walking a mile in grantees' shoes. And I think that when I was contemplating this topic and looking for a guest to join me, the efforts of the Barr Foundation really jumped out at me in terms of wanting to be as effective a partner for their nonprofit grantees as possible. And we're going to be talking about some of the efforts that the Barr Foundation has undertaken. But I would like to direct everybody who's listening to, and we'll give you the link later on, to a blog post that was actually written by Carrie on the Barr Foundation website that was entitled Walking a Mile in Their Grantees' Shoes. Carrie, maybe if you could start by telling us a little bit about what was the background, what was going on at the Barr Foundation that led you all into this effort?
This is Yvonne. I can take that question. So first of all, let me just explain that my name is Yvonne Belanger, and I'm the Director of Learning and Evaluation here at the Barr Foundation. When I joined Barr in September of 2017, Barr was just about to embark on its, I think, fourth iteration of doing the Grantee Perception Report, which is something that Barr has done every 4 or 5 years since it was founded, because part of the Barr Foundation's founding principles are our core values around humility and the belief that, you know, we're not doing the work, our partners are, and our role is to be a good supportive partner and to help our grantees be as effective as they can. And as part of that, we need to routinely get feedback from them to help us understand whether or not we're really living up to that aspiration or not. So in the fall of 2017, we worked with the Center for Effective Philanthropy to do the grantee perception survey that they offer. And we got those results back in the early spring of 2018. And so, you know, there were a number of things we learned from that, and we can go into that later. But just as you asked about the process itself. So as we've done in the past, when we got those survey results back, in addition to kind of going through them in detail, we also asked the Center for Effective Philanthropy to help us set up some additional focus groups, because as we looked at the survey, there were some particular things that we heard from our grantees that we wanted to dig in a little bit more to make sure we really understood what they were saying or what they were experiencing. So using the survey results, and the focus group information, we went through all of that with the board and with all of the staff. And BAR is very committed to being transparent. So if you like, you can go to the BAR website and you can see all the same information that the staff and board saw as far as the general feedback we got through the GPR survey and what we heard from our grantees in the focus groups. So as a staff, we all went through that together and had a staff retreat. And one of the things that came out of that was the idea that we really still were not 100% clear on what our grantees were experiencing when they tried to apply for a grant from BAR. So we thought it would be a good idea for all of the staff to sort of play the role of a grantee. And so with help from our operations team at the time, we were all sort of given the opportunity to submit a dummy grant proposal through the portal that we, the same one that we send to our grantees. And so we all walked through that process of pretending to be an applicant and answering all the questions that we ask and submitting all the forms that we ask them to submit. And out of that process, it was very eye-opening. I think we saw a lot of things that we hadn't really seen before. And we understood that the grantees were not having the experience that we really wanted them to have, and that there were a lot of things that were more confusing than we realized or just were more clunky. So that was sort of the process that Carrie was talking about when she wrote up that blog post, and where we decided to literally just walk in their shoes and see things from their point of view.
Yvonne, you mentioned that grantee perception report. For those who may not be familiar with that, is that, that's a survey that you send and you share with your grantees, and that allows them to give feedback on their engagement with the foundation? Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, the grantee perception report covers basically all that. It's not just about the process of applying for a grant. It covers kind of the range of experiences that grantees have with the foundation in terms of how they experience the responsiveness of the foundation to their questions and concerns, how well they think we do in providing flexible and timely support, whether or not they find their experiences working with us on things like evaluation to be useful. So it covers a range of issues in terms of all the different ways that the grantees interact with us.
And you mentioned that the BAR Foundation has a history of and a core value around transparency. Still, that has to be challenging. It has to be a little bit unsettling for staff and board to look at that information and to be open to change. Maybe talk a little bit about the culture of the foundation itself and how that process was received by both board and staff.
Sure. I mean, I'll say a little bit about BAR, but also just philanthropy in general. I think there's been a lot of conversation recently, and it's, I think, in a good way coming to the forefront about how for the goals of, for the social impact goals that we all care about, I think we all realize that there are some at times unhelpful dynamics between funders and nonprofits that prevent candid feedback and improved practice, right? So I think at BAR, we're definitely eager for our grantees to see us as a supportive and helpful partner. I mean, at the end of the day, we're not doing the work. They are. And our role is to try to help fund and support the efforts that the grantees are undertaking in the field. And I think while it certainly isn't comfortable to hear feedback about ways that you could improve, I think we can't be as effective when we care too much about the urgency of the problems that we're all trying to work on to let kind of ego get in the way, I think. So, what the work that our nonprofit partners do is the really hard work. And so we should at a bare minimum be willing to let us critique how we might be making it more difficult by creating unnecessary barriers and hurdles. So I think when we got the feedback from the grantee perception report, in addition, prior to Carrie's blog post, there was also a blog post by our foundation president, Jim Canales, and our vice president, Roger Nozaki, talking about how our primary reaction to the feedback we got was what we saw from the Center for Effective Philanthropy is able to provide benchmark data so that you can see how well your grantees are rating you, not just in a bubble, but also in comparison to other foundations that have also done the survey. And what we saw was that we were coming up as average, typical, in terms of how of the quality of our relationships that the grantees perceive. And our immediate reaction was that that was very unsatisfying because we aspire to be much more than typical. We work very hard and believe very strongly that the relationships we have with grantees are what's going to make the work better. So we need those relationships to be high quality relationships. So I don't think that there wasn't a defensive reaction among the board and staff. There was an openness and a curiosity to say, all right, well, if we're just typical, how can we be better than that? Carrie, did you want to add anything to that?
Sure. I would just say this has been a consistent aspiration of our trustees and our staff from the very beginning when we first did this way back in the early 2000s. You know, it's something that, again, ties back to the core values of the foundation and is a genuine aspiration of the staff and the trustees and the leadership here at Barr to constantly be striving to improve what we do, how we do it, and holding those relationships with our grantees at the core of everything. And I don't think we're unique in that. I do think it's really a huge movement right now in the field. I think it started like probably 10 years ago or so when Project Streamline came out. You saw this real hunger for organizations to figure out how to streamline their processes, how to leverage technology, how to come up with sort of common applications and things of that nature that were going to make the experience better for their grantees, as well as allow for less administrative burden to focus more on the relationship end of things and let the organizations, as Yvonne stated, that are doing this important work, do the work. And I myself have been a member of Peak Grantmaking and its board for quite a while. And I know that they are working on these core principles. It's sort of building off the Project Streamline work that's trying to tie practice to values, trying to narrow the power gap, trying to drive equity, trying to learn and share and evolve from the practice and steward responsibly and responsively. So these are things that is like important to the field, that there are organizations out there that are really doing this extraordinarily well that we've reached out to and tried to get this moving. And this is like not a hard sell internally at all. So, yeah.
And I think that that's an important point to underscore, is that this has been a consistent core value of the Barr Foundation, this openness and transparency and really developing relationships between yourselves as funders and the nonprofit grantees that you partner with. And I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that probably allows you to get better information and more honest and open communication from your grantees when you do things like this, the perception report.
Yeah, I mean, we were really pleased that, again, I hope that this is because in the past we have demonstrated an openness to getting feedback and acting on it, but we had a really high response rate on the survey. It was nearly 75%. And when we invited grantees to attend focus groups, they were also, we had no trouble getting them to come to those. I think we really, I mean, it's a generally accepted truism in social science, I guess, that, you know, if you want high rates of response to requests for feedback, you have to demonstrate that you're going to follow through and close those feedback loops, that you're going to take actions with the feedback, and that you're going to close the loop by going back and telling people, in this case, our grantees, well, here's what we heard, here's what we changed. And so I think if you create those strong feedback loops, I think we know that that's a really important practice across the nonprofit sector and for funders in particular.
Now, you mentioned, that's a great segue, you mentioned that you had formed a working group. All of your staff had gone through the experience of what it was like to fill out a grant application. If you could maybe walk us through some of the things that you learned in that process and the changes that you've made as a result.
I'll talk about some of the things we've learned, and I'll let Carrie tell you a little bit about some of the changes that we made. I think some of the things that we saw, as Carrie mentioned at the start of the podcast, we have program teams that work in very different areas in arts and creativity, in climate, in education. And one of the things we learned was that over time, those teams had developed kind of variants of our process and had in some cases that had created maybe more complexity than we really wanted. So one of the things we learned was that we needed to figure out a way to have a process that was a little bit less customized, that there was a little bit more commonality across our different program areas so that we could put more energy and effort into creating simple, straightforward instructions and avoid having technology that was overly complex and therefore like a little bit clunky. So one of the things that we learned was that to be able to effectively streamline things, we did need to come up with a little bit more of a common umbrella process. The other thing that we learned was, you know, and this is just such a basic practice, I think, with anything that's online, because our whole process before the GPR was, it's a fully online process. We didn't really have enough embedded instructions throughout the process. We were kind of relying on grantees to go look in other places to get instructions and information. So one of the things that we learned was that we could do a lot better in embedding instructions and assistance throughout the whole grant making process to just make it a little bit more simplified and streamlined. I think one of the other things that we learned was that we really needed to take a hard look at whether or not we were really using all of the information that we were asking for. And did we really need all of it? So I think, you know, to the extent that we could identify places where we were asking more questions than we needed to, or questions that felt a little redundant. So just simply trying to collapse and consolidate some of our questions on our application to just have fewer questions and to make sure the ones that we were asking were critically important to ask so that we weren't collecting information or data that wasn't essential to being able to make the decision or to be able to move forward with a grant. I don't know, Carrie, do you want to highlight a few other things that we changed or that we identified in the process?
Sure. So we realized that a lot of our language in email correspondence and things of that nature, when we transitioned our technology and we were trying to, make sure people were receiving automated responses when, you know, applications were submitted and things that are more transactional, felt very much transactional, and that was not appealing for grantees. So we took a look at all of our correspondence touch points and tried to make them include all of the information that people felt it was lacking. So they had important dates in embedded in it, and that it really spoke to the relationship end of our grant making and our connections and felt less transactional. So we were really happy to make those changes and to get that feedback from the organizations. And it was something that could be easily fixed. We allowed our staff to have the flexibility instead of insisting upon a two-phase grant making process. We allowed the program staff to determine whether or not they felt like a concept paper was warranted, or if we could just go right to a full proposal phase. We decided that it was really, really important to us to focus on the people and not the paper. So we were leveraging like websites and services like Candid, where they have a lot of the documentation that a lot of folks ask for as part of their proposal process, whether it's 990s or 501c3 letters, and not asking the grantees to submit that information to try and make places like that sort of the one-stop shop to eliminate the duplicativeness of the process for our grantees. And so those are just some of the changes that we made. And again, this is like ongoing for us. We're looking at all of our technology. We're trying to do, you know, changes that are really well thought through, and not just sort of quick knee-jerk reactions, because our goal ultimately is to make sure that folks are only submitting what they really need to submit. They know the usefulness of it, and we're getting things done in a way that's clear and transparent, and that they understand why they're doing it.
And I was struck by that in the blog post and in the efforts that you've had, having been a nonprofit CEO in the past and having been the grant writer for the organization. I really appreciated how practical a lot of the changes that you're implementing are. And I can very clearly see the voice of the nonprofit leader, the voice of your nonprofit partner, in many of these changes. So I think that speaks very well of the process. One of the other changes it looked like you made was that you talked differently or created a guide to help grantees differentiate between outputs and outcomes. Could you maybe speak a little bit about that?
Sure. This is Yvonne. So that work we had started before this process, but the feedback we got through this process really elevated how important and urgent that work was. So when I had first arrived, one of the things that I noted in the fall of 2017 was that across our, when I looked at grant awards that we had made and at proposals we'd received, that we didn't really have, that frequently some of the outputs and outcomes that were written into our grant agreements were like more complicated and longer and more detailed than maybe they needed to be, and that ended up creating burdens down the line for grantees when they had to report against those outputs and outcomes, and that we really weren't providing very clear guidance to them about what we wanted from them in terms of outputs and outcomes, and that what I was hearing from our program officers was that there was a lot of time and iteration cycles going on during the grant making process to try to work on those outputs and outcomes that was partly born out of us not being as clear as we could be upfront about what we were asking for. So partly inspired by some work that had been done at the Kauffman Foundation, and we thought, well, there's just no reason why we couldn't just provide grantees with some simple examples of here are what we mean. When we say we would like you to write outputs and outcomes, we would think a good output or a good outcome would look like this and would have these parts to it, so that they could be more clear and could get more clear the first time around without having to do revisions to their proposals or rework those outputs and outcomes, which was just adding time and work for everyone. So we thought it would be helpful to just say, well, we'll put together a set of guidelines that is as much for our internal staff, but share the same guidance with our potential partners so that everyone's on the same page with how to get that part of the proposal process done as quickly and as efficiently as possible. But also, again, looking down the line to say, we know that one of the things that adds time and complexity later on for grantees is when they have to report back on outputs and outcomes that are maybe vague or not measurable or too ambitious or not clearly connected to the actual work that was funded. So we thought that was a good sort of upfront way to try to reduce the work and the effort throughout the whole life cycle of the grant.
Now, you mentioned that the Barr Foundation is a regional foundation, but I followed Jim, your president, and his work, and I know the Barr Foundation is highly respected nationally. Have you seen other foundations walking down this similar road or taking similar efforts?
I'll let Carrie speak to that, but one thing I will say is that while the bulk of Barr's work is focused in New England, in selective areas in some of our programs, we do make national level investments, sometimes especially when we're part of a collaborative of funders that's working on something that might benefit, say, the whole ecosystem of one of our program areas. So Barr is part of, say, the Fund for Shared Insight, which is a national funder collaborative with a lot of other foundations, many of whom are larger than Barr and more influential. And so through those and many other funder collaboratives that Barr is part of, we definitely see a lot of great examples in other places. But so you're specifically wondering about who Barr looks to find examples of these kinds of changes in other foundations?
No, I guess I was thinking more on the flip side. some of Barr's efforts in walking the mile in grantee shoes and making some of these changes based specifically on grantee feedback have been noticed and highly respected across the sector. I've wondered if you've seen other foundations either approach Barr to learn more about your efforts or model some of those efforts themselves in their foundations.
Well, I can tell you one story that I heard, although I won't tell you which foundation it was, just but I heard a story from a colleague at a philanthropy meeting who said that when Jim Canales posted his blog post about our GPR results and sharing the results and talking publicly about what we took away from them, that their foundation president got inspired to do the same thing because, and that in fact it helped them internally make the case with their board that it was safe and okay to go out and do that and that there would be a positive response to that. So I guess we've heard maybe anecdotal examples where certainly, you know, Barr has, we try to model what we think is good funder behavior and effective philanthropic practices, and I hope we've been a positive influence. One of the areas that Barr does invest in is philanthropic infrastructure, essentially things like we provide support to organizations like Carrie mentioned, Candid or the Center for Effective Philanthropy. Over the years, we have supported some of those important pieces of infrastructure that we hope make all funders better and more effective and more efficient to make sure that the social impact, the money in the social impact sector can go to the work and to have all funders, you know, try to model best practices from what we're all learning from each other.
That's excellent. The maybe if you could comment, so having seen all of your staff go through what was the grant experience in the past, what has been the response now among staff and board to the changes that you've implemented?
I think that what we've learned is that this is just sort of an ongoing, never going to be finished type of endeavor. I think that people were happy with a lot of the changes that we made, but we did learn a lot from things that we thought might work really well ultimately ended up making additional, or it feels like additional work for staff internally. So trying to sort of be open to feedback internally, and then we have a constant feedback loop with our grantees as well. They have a link as part of their grant process to provide feedback at any point in time, and it is received and able to be viewed by all staff. So we can course correct and are course correcting all along the way. Hey, we'll try this now and see how this goes. And we'll try it for, you know, X amount of months or however many grant cycles and see how it works. And everybody is open to adapting and changing if it doesn't quite go right. Or if a grantee provides, you know, incredible insight or great feedback and we say, oh yeah, that's something that we can easily change right now. And if it matters to this one grantee, it might matter considerably to others. So let's add that in and see how it works. So it really is an iterative process. And I think we've got a lot of support from staff and trustees to continue to make this process better and evolve as we go.
Yeah, I think the other thing that we know that this is going to continue to be ongoing work because the technology and the functionality that we have available to us is also always changing. So there were changes that we envisioned wanting to make during this process that we weren't able to implement because the tools that we have in place didn't quite enable everything that we could imagine doing. So as the tools that we use to do our grant making add new features and functionality, then we'll have new options for things we can try that weren't necessarily an option to us. So we continue to aspire, for example, to try to pull in information from places like Carrie mentioned, from Candid, to see if we can pre-populate proposals for grantees to try to, again, reduce the amount of redundant information that they have to add that's already available. So, those are things that some of those more sort of technologically challenging things will take more time, or we'll have to wait until the tools that we have access to enable us to do those things. So I think there are still some things that we still have on the drawing board that we thought we might like to try, but we haven't yet gotten to the point where we've been able to implement all those things yet.
And I think that that's so important. Also, you mentioned earlier in the podcast some of the power dynamics and some of the other dynamics between grantees and funders that make some of these conversations challenging. I think that ability to have continuous dialogue rather than just episodic dialogue really helps to break down some of those barriers and build that partnership over time. So I'm grateful to you for that work, and I know that I'm sure your grantees have appreciated that as well.
Thank you. Thanks.
Well, I have really enjoyed this conversation. I know that others, the listeners, will be interested in learning more about the Barr Foundation, learning more about your efforts here. Carrie, Yvonne, if maybe you could share with us a link to the Barr Foundation website and ways that listeners might get more information about some of these efforts that you all have done.
Sure. But you know, you're welcome to visit the Barr Foundation website. It's barrfoundation.org. And you will find information about the GPR is located under the impact and learning section of our website. There are staff bios and information about our values and our on the About Us section. And then each of our program teams, Arts, Climate, and Education, also has sort of a section of the website that talks in more detail about the work that they do. And you're also welcome to visit our blog, where you can find the posts that were mentioned earlier from our president, vice president, and from Carrie about the specific work that we've been doing over the past year or so to get feedback and improve our grant-making practices. Carrie, did you want to also mention any websites about for peak grant making that people could visit?
Oh, sure. So peakgrantmaking.org. There's a lot of information there right now about those principles that I was mentioning in the work that they're doing, again, to try and tie all of this together. For grant making professionals and for foundations that are really trying to take on this effort, because I think it is an aspiration within the field to really try, as you said, to mitigate that power imbalance and to try and really focus on what's most effective in philanthropy, which is the relationships, because that's really at the center of everything. So thank you very much for reaching out to us today. We really appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. And I'll put in a plug for Jim Canales, who's the president of the Barr Foundation. For those of you who are on Twitter, Jim is a wonderful follow on Twitter. He is frequently sharing information about the Barr Foundation efforts and also information about key issues impacting the nonprofit and philanthropic communities. But Carrie, Yvonne, I want to thank you for taking the time joining us today and sharing your wisdom and expertise. And thank you also for the efforts of the Barr Foundation.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.